There were nails in the palms of his hands. There were thorns in his brow, and only God could know how much pain he could withstand. There was blood all around. As a mother mourned her loss, and we all stood to gain from the heavenly pain on the other side of the cross. On the other hung the spirit of things yet to come, hung the future of you and me, and what he gave that day on the cross, not one bit of love has.
Today, how many of you brought your Bibles? Go ahead and lift them up. We'd like to see them. Yeah, I'd like to see them. Some people pulling out their phones. That's all right. John, we'd like for you to turn to the book of John, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read 1 through 11 and then skip over to 35 through 41. I've entitled this, Can You See? Can You See? So, this is 9, 1 through 11. I read from the New King James Version, so bear with me as you all follow along. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Now, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Verse 41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, thank you again for who you are. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the written word, and we thank you for stories that we can read and learn from. And Lord, not only that, but we're thankful for the word going forth, so we can learn from it to apply it to our lives, and then, Lord, most importantly, to follow you and see the truth. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. I'd like to read a footnote, so it might give us a little bit of clarification that's in my Bible. And it's about the ones who see and don't see. And it says this, Jesus, this is for 39 through 41. It talks about those who do not see. Jesus' statement refers to spiritual blindness, okay? So it's not when Jesus speaks, it's spiritual stuff. So he's talking about spiritual blindness. And he says, who do not see? Those people that who do not see, those are like the blind man who actually admit that they don't have spiritual sight. And so then the other one is who see, the people who see, are persons like the Pharisees who claim to have spiritual understanding based on their own wisdom and righteousness. So that's a little bit of clarity, hopefully, for that little dialogue there that Jesus had. Well, do you see? It's a good question. And can you see? That's even a more poignant question. Can you see? Strangely enough, we believe in creation, amen, that God created the heavens and the earth and all that's within, and he said it was good. So much so that there's a great commercial on right now, and I've been watching some TV in the basketball games, and it's the power company, I believe. Have you seen that commercial that it talks about a candle and so many football fields away that the naked eye can see that? And that's a pretty amazing statement anyway, and I've been really amazed by that. So then I said, wow, that's pretty good. So God created our eyes to see even a candle at many football fields away in the darkness. So the only thing I could relate to that was, and I was in Mammoth Cave one time, and they have lights and you walk through, you know, and then all of a sudden they say, well, now stand still because we're going to turn the lights off. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. And they turn the lights off. And then they said, all right, now try to see your hand. You know, you hit your nose because you cannot see your hand because it's so dark. I mean, really, I couldn't anyway. There is no light there. But when the guy does a little match, he lights a match and, you know, there's light and it lights up the whole room and you're going, whoa, it's amazing how God created us to see light. Now, I say that to say, how do we see spiritual light? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a basic understanding of what we ought to know. We ought to know that when we ask Jesus into our heart, we accept Him as our Savior, He says that we become a new creation. Is that right? A new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We get new eyes to see, a new heart, if you will. And so we get eyes to see spiritual things. So when I ask you, can you see? This is really leaning toward the spiritual things. Now, the issue that we have at the beginning, and we'll go to that part of the story, is the man that was a beggar, and he was blind from birth, and the Pharisees were wanting to know, and they used to think that somebody had to sin for this plague to be on them. And so the plague would be blindness, and Jesus said, well, no one sinned. Okay? But then what he did is he actually, you've heard the story, he makes the mud, puts it on him, and tells him to go and cleanse it off. And when he does, he sees. Now, do you think he, not only does he see physically, sees, but he also sees spiritually. Why? Because he comes back, and Jesus has that interaction with him, and he says that I'm the one that you're talking about, the one to follow, and I am he. Well, so Jesus is trying to tell this blind man to follow him, and that I am the one that you see, and I'm the reason you can see, because I am the light of the world. Now, if you think about, I've been preaching for a few months here, and as I started, I tried to lay some foundation in understanding that, and I used the terms of your world. I've been using those terms, your world. You have the ability to minister in your world. And what I mean by that, and I hope you've grasped onto that, is that you work in a certain area, or you have a circle of friends, or you shop certain places. That's your world in which you live. It's not the whole world of the globe, but it's your world in which you have influence. And so, we have influence in our world. The issue is do we see, you know, spiritual light? Do we see light in it? And, or, do we bring that spiritual light with us? Now, when we become born again, we not only do we get new eyes to see and a new heart, but also we receive the Spirit of the living God. John 14 is going to talk about it in the near future here in the book of John. And he talks, Jesus is saying again, red letter edition, he's speaking, he says, I need to go to my Father, and my Father and I will send you the Holy One of God. The Holy One, Counselor, Comforter, different Bibles have different terms. And so what's going to happen when you receive that Holy One of God, you will be filled with His Spirit. Now, the day of Pentecost is coming. We're going to talk about that as well down the road. And when the Spirit came on the upper room, what happened? They spoke in other tongues and they were filled with power, that dunamis power from on high. And they reflected the image of God, if you will. They had the light of Christ in them. And so, I don't know if you've ever met anybody that has the twinkling eyes, or this just a radiant glow about them on their face. Everywhere, you know, you see them, they're just always just filled with joy, and they have a radiance about them, and you just know they're godly people. Have you seen those people? You some of you are them, so I know that you've seen them, because they're here. The thing is that radiant, we call that Shekinah glory, that radiates from our countenance, and people recognize that we are godly people because of that glow, if you will, that twinkle in your eye. And then, of course, your actions as well. And so I want to say that this man that was blind by birth, when Jesus did this notable miracle to him, the Pharisees, which are the religious leaders of the day, the people that, if you will, ran the church, of course, we don't want to say that here, but I'm just saying that those were the people that, you know, made the church go, provided for it with spiritual leadership of it. They were blind. And it says they could not see. Isn't that weird? That they could not see this Shekinah glory. They couldn't see the light of the world that was right there before them. And of course, the Jewish people, it was meant Jesus came for the Jewish people, but the Jewish people could not see that. And they didn't receive that, and so they were blinded. And also, you could look at another scripture, and in the world thinks it's foolishness what we do, that what we believe in the Word of God, and that we are Christians and that we follow Christ. The world looks at us as we're foolish, and they're blind. They still have blinders on, and they cannot see the light of the world that is in us, and the light of the world that has come so that we could have life and life eternal with Him. Of course, you all know John 3:16 so well. I've even had you all quote it for me, and you've done a real good job. And I won't make you go through that again. And you know John 3:17. We know those. But I want to challenge you even later today. I'm going to tell it to you, but reread this section. It's verses 18 through 21 of John 3. It talks about that the light of the world has come into the world, but the world did not receive Him because of the evil thereof. Okay? Now, what happens is that the light exposes the darkness for what it is. See? But if you are of the light, you're drawn to the light to live your life as in the light. So that's what it says, in essence. Now, what I'm trying to say to you today is, can you see Christ? Can you see the light of the world in your life? And can other people see the light of the world in you? Because that's really what it comes down to. The rubber hitting the road is really God working through you and letting His radiant glow, if you will, the light of Christ, radiate through you in your everyday living. Now, that could be through joy and peace and contentment. It could be through acts of love. It could be through having self-control, which is the last one. That's number 9 of the gifts of the Spirit. It could be being very patient or persevering, that you could use those interactively. It could be people that are very faithful, that are faithful to the cause, that continue to do what God asks them to do, and God shows His light through you. Now, it could be through acts of kindness, that's another one, or goodness. And so, those things is how God shows His light through you. And so, what happens in Romans 8 even, it talks about that your spirit will bear witness with my spirit, if we're of the same spirit, it says, right? So if we're of the same spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ, being born again believers, then when you meet somebody like that, you recognize that spirit that's in them. And you recognize the light for what it is. It is the light of the world. Now, what we want to do is make sure that you and I are reflecting God's image to this world. And where we go, that we reflect that light. Now, let me give you a great example. When I was younger, I used to shop at Gafers. Anybody remember Gafers for what it was? Yeah. Now, the thing I remember about Gafers was what? The Moonlight Madness sales. You guys remember those? Yeah. Well, Moonlight Madness means just what it means. It was at night, and it was all night. Like, you could go there at 3 in the morning, you know, and shop. And you were getting that clearance racks upon clearance. Anyway, I won't go that far. I get excited when I think about that. But the point is that I used to go to the mall at Gafers to shop the Moonlight Madness. Well, one evening I went there, and it was late at night, and there was a circle of cars out in the mall parking lot. Now, you know, they were young people, and they were out there, and I drove by them, and, you know, I saw them. They had cups and different things going on, and they were just sort of hanging out in the mall parking lot. Now, some of you might have been those people. I could have been probably a long time ago, but anyway, the thing was, they didn't move when I drove by them, and I went to park to go into Gafers for the Moonlight Madness sale, but I did observe them. As I was walking in, I noticed a patrol car with the policeman in there. He drove by there real slow, and then he turned down the aisle in which they were parked. Now, strangely enough, they loaded up, and they left. Yeah, they didn't hang around like they did when I drove down that aisle. But when the policemen came, they all loaded up in their trucks and their cars, and they dispersed from the parking lot. Now, you could say, that's the light of the world. You know, when God's righteousness and holiness comes into a room, comes into the presence of people that are doing wrong, guess what happens? Attitudes change, things change, you put things up, you don't do certain things, and that's a good illustration for us to understand. So you understand what I'm saying, that sometimes, and I could give you one more, and I might have shared this already here. I remember one time I went to visit a gentleman, and he comes to the door, and he came out of the kitchen, and I thought he was watching a ball game or something that afternoon, and then he went in the kitchen, came back out, and answered the door. And so I was there, and he welcomed me in, and we sat down. But after a little while, I was getting thirsty. And I said, hey, can I go get a drink of water? He said, yeah. And so I jumped up real quick and went in the kitchen. Well, what's in the sink but his beer can? You know, that he didn't want me to see. And not that that's a big deal. It's not a big deal to me. It was a big deal to him. Because the preacher had come to visit him. He didn't want me to see him drinking beer. Well, so I got my drink of water and went back in. I didn't say anything. But the thing is that sometimes we don't want everybody to see what we do. And it might not be bad. It has to come under your conscience. You know I can't drink anymore because God convicted me of that. That's not for me to tell you that you can't do that, because it would be wrong for me to say that. Now, I can only tell you what God has showed me, and that's all I can tell you is through testimony. But the thing is that the light of the world, when the light comes in, when people aren't doing what they think to be right, then they're going to change and they're going to, if you will, get out of that light. Now, let me say one other thing about the light of the world, which is Jesus. If we have this spiritual, and remember, we're talking about the spiritual light, and that we're talking about spirituality, that when we know Jesus, we become this new creation, we want to be more like Him. We do want to reflect the light of Christ in this world. Oftentimes, if you look at scientifically, we know that the light of the world that God set into place when in Genesis, He said, let me have light and dark, right? And he set the sun and the moon. Now, does the moon have light in itself? No, it reflects it, doesn't it? Where's the light come from? It comes from the sun, which is a huge star. Yeah, and now I'm not an astrologist or anything, but I do know that much about that. And the issue is that that light is radiant, and that's where we get our warmth and all that kind of stuff. So we think about the light being the sun. If we think about the light of the world, spiritually being Jesus, the Spirit of the living God that God gave us, He is in us if we're born again. The Holy Spirit came in us and created that new creation in Christ. And as we live out our life, we are to share that light wherever we go. And when we bring the light of Christ into a room, it ought to then light up. You hear what I'm saying? So, not when you walk in a room, should it be depressed and suppressed and, you know, oppressed. It needs to be lit up. People need to smile and look and be glad to see you. Why? Because you have the living God in you. And that's important to understand. And so when we think about, can we see today? I just have that challenge for you in your everyday living. I think most of us have a very discerning spirit. And we know people that are of the truth. You meet somebody, you sort of figure it out real quick. Just like in Romans, Paul says, your spirit will bear witness with my spirit. You know if I'm a born-again believer or not. I mean, you feel it, you sense it, and it's like, okay, I understand it. And then pretty soon you start watching and you start observing the actions to line up with that light, that spiritual understanding that you got of knowing that I am a born-again believer and you're a born-again believer and our spirits bore witness with one another. So each of us, I pray, can actually see the Spirit of the living God in other people. Now, if you look back, one quick thing, if you look back at the beginning of the man who was blinded and then now sees. If we think about this, the physical attribute of that, that is a notable miracle. There's no doubt about it. That's a miracle of God. But I want to say that the new birth is a miracle of God too. Not just the new birth spiritually, but like a baby's birth. Think about the new birth being like a baby's birth. Being from a womb, in a womb, and then comes into the world and goes from being fed by an umbilical cord and being in a sack of water to now being air, breathing air. Just in one short transition that occurs. Now that birth is a miracle of God. And I want to say that the birth of Jesus Christ in our spirit is a miracle of God as well. And it's up to us actually to see right from wrong and then offer the light of the world to the people that we know that are living in darkness. It is our responsibility. And no way will this church ever grow unless you start thinking and starting seeing clearly that the light of the world is in us and it's in this place. And that we need to, where we go in our world, and when we see darkness, that we offer the light and bring them to the light of the world. Now it does say in John 3:18-21 that the light does expose the darkness for what it is, evil. But it also says that evil will not dwell where there's light. So it's very difficult to bring people that are living in sin into this building. Like I told you before, those doors are bigger than you realize. They only might be a certain dimension, but when people are living in sin and they know that the light of Christ dwells in here and good people and godly people dwell in here, those look like big doors. Some of you watched The Wizard of Oz. Remember when the lion and the tin man and Dorothy was standing at the door and the straw man, and they banged on the door to see the Wizard of Oz and how big that door was? Remember how, I mean, it was huge, wasn't it? Well, that's what these doors look like. And that's why I really want us to have outside entertainment, if you will, gospel sings, revivals, fellowship suppers. So it's other avenues that they get to come into the church to see that this is just a building. We are the church. We are the light of the world. We are the ones that share the love of Christ. We are the ones that offer them Jesus. Who else will offer them the light of the world? The world won't, because it's living in darkness. And so we are the ones that have been put the burden on us to offer and live out the light of the world to people so that they can now see Christ and actually experience Christ in their own lives. It's our responsibility to share that wonderful, wonderful light that we have. Kim, we have a closing song. Miss Madeline comes to play the piano.